and then we're going to jump right into different subject matter and see if some of these callers want to help us out with this conversation this morning. But again, rough start. Thank you for being with me, Queen.
Absolutely. What's up with it? It's your girl, Jedi. Copy that. Everything you just said. We on the line. We appreciate y'all for your patience and your understanding. Stan chimed in through that clip. Okay. that was ongoing. But yeah, it's your girl, Jedi. I am the owner of Empower You, period. Natural Film Care for women and girls out here. I am also the founder of Black Grown and Married, honey, where our mission is to empower and support African-American cultures in nurturing strong, healthy, enduring relationships. Okay. And I am also the executive director of the Women Divine, providing mentoring and culturally rooted programming to prepare girls of African descent. Okay, one time for the black girls for their transition from adolescence to adulthood, honey. You know, they call me Miss Community out here in the DFW. Let's jump in. Montoya,
absolutely.
What we got popping today? Who on the line? What are we talking about today?
I'm excited
about this here. Let's do it.
Yeah, no doubt. We're talking about whatever the callers want to talk about. Absolutely. The intellectual outcast, y'all are the smartest audience in the radio, the smartest audience in all the radio. So I'm looking for them to bring the heat this morning to get us popping. But the first thing, again, I just want to highlight and tell you I love the work you're doing. I know you're continuing to build and have been always been active in community, and just really want to highlight you on your journey with, you know, dealing with those young queens again, because I know you got that back up and started in full force. So I definitely hope, you know, we'll let people know a little bit more about what you're doing for anybody that wants to support what you're doing out there in the Fort Worth area. Because at the end of the day, absolutely. I love people with boots on the ground. I support organizations here in the Atlanta area that put their boots on the ground. You know, a lot of people out here not always really doing the work sometimes. So we only support those who have their boots on the ground. So I definitely wanted to highlight you for that. But to get this thing started and popping real quick, matter of fact, let's get a break out of here and get this thing popping. But the first thing that popped in my mind for the holidays, I actually went and saw the I don't know if you cut the new Color Purple, if you will. From what I understand, the stage play version, and brought it to the screen, if you will. So I just wanted to highlight a few of my thoughts about the Color Purple. So let's get this quick break in, and then let's get this show where anybody out there listening, you can call in and talk about whatever you want to discuss. This is an open call.
Whatever you want.
Yep, open call, mental dialogue. So y'all can jump in on this topic or any topic of your own. I see a couple of callers out there. As soon as we come on this break, I'm going to come back, jump on this Color Purple, and then get to the callers. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think. Again, for anybody that heard that intro, I do want to apologize. Once again, we are popping and ready to go the rest of the way.
What happens when your customers call your business and you're too busy to answer or call them back in a timely manner? You lose that business. Shockingly, 61% of inbound calls go unanswered. But fear not, tchmedia.ai is here to change the game. We specialize in capturing, nurturing, and converting your prospects into loyal customers. With our state-of-the-art communication solutions, no interaction will be left behind. When you miss a call, we've got you covered with automatic, engaging texts that keep your prospects connected and eager to choose you over your competitors. Don't let potential customers slip away. Make the smart choice with tchmedia.ai and skyrocket your conversions today. tchmedia.ai is here to change the game.
Shout out to my man Haj Bukhari at TCH Media for being a sponsor of the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. Today is open call. We want to talk about whatever you guys want to talk about. And so if you've ever called into the show before, you know you have to press 1 to let us know you want to speak. I see a couple of callers out there. If you're just listening, no problem. But if you want to jump in and give us your 3 cents or ask a question for us to talk about, anything you want to talk about, make sure you press 1 and get in on this morning's discussion. So, Queen, I don't know if you gotten around to seeing the Color Purple. I don't know if you want to see the Color Purple. There's been a long history to the making of that movie. It's obviously a very popular or famous movie when it came out way in the past. I don't know that I was really aware that they were initially planning to remake it from a long period ago. It just kind of popped up for me personally. Mm-hmm. Some people may have been way more aware that they were going to remake it. But yeah, they remade it with Taraji P. She's in it. What's the sister? Fantasia is kind of the star of the show, kind of playing Whoopi Goldberg, first one, if you will. But I don't know if you've had a chance to see it before I even give any thoughts. Have you seen it? And what's your thoughts on whether you, if you haven't seen it, whether you plan to see it? Kind of just want to throw that out there before I give you any of my thoughts.
No, your girl ain't even checked it out just yet. Oh, but I am, okay? That's a part of the plan this weekend to get into it. But I got several of the family and friends that have checked it out. And so, yeah, I've heard really good things about it. You know, I've been checking it out online. Honey, we got to do better with how we be like, oh, it wasn't what to be made. You know, like the mixed things on every going. But, yeah, I heard it was good, and I definitely plan to check it out to support. If nothing more, just the cast alone, you know, I'm excited about.
Yeah, the cast was dynamic. I can't run from that. Now, I will say, personally, as a black man, I didn't really care to see it. I ain't going to front. Then what happened was my mama wanted to see it. So that's pretty much the start of it all, right? And then I was fortunate enough. We were invited, and she was invited to hang out with my lady's family. And at that point, it became family over everything. So I was in there I was watching it with my hand on my face and peeking through my fingers. You feel me?
I got a whole visual of that, though. Like, I can see you.
Because as a natural man, you know, I actually enjoyed Color Purple because I should have looked up when it actually came out the first time or whatever. But I was maybe in my teen. I think I may have been a teenager, if I remember correctly. Maybe mid-teens, late teens, or something to that effect or whatever. And I enjoyed it at the time. And then, you know, back then when, you know, movies on DVD and all that kind of stuff. I think it came out prior to DVDs, if I remember. But, you know, you would go back and get the DVDs and watch all your classics or whatever.
We watched it on repeat when I was a teen, too. But go ahead.
Yeah, for sure. So I say all that to say, so I've seen it more than once, if you will, and I used to really laud it. But as I got older and I would say a little more conscious, it was kind of like, hold on. What's going on with the men in this movie? Because it wasn't one good brother in that movie. So as a grown man, I was kind of like, I can't believe they tricked me to watch that BS. So I went from loving the movie as a young teenager.
Suge's husband at the end. Now, Suge's husband came in and did right by it. But go ahead.
Hey, you sound like I got invited to one of my members' Christmas party this week, and we got to talking about the damn Color Purple. And that's what they were saying. I'm like, you going to wait to the end of the movie to talk about one slightly redeeming quality? To act like, you know what I mean? And here's the issue. I want to see what you think about this. Anybody out there on the line, y'all can jump in. Press one. Y'all can join us. Y'all can talk about anything you want. I see a lot of callers out there. Glad to have y'all out there. But it is, Queen. It wasn't one good man in the movie. It never has been. And the thing is, I now know, because again, as a teenager, I didn't know this, but in retrospect, I now know there were a lot of black people who never wanted that movie made even back then. Pretty much for the reason.
I think the why was there was pushback against it because of that scene with a feeling of that part in the book. You know what I'm saying? Like that part in the book about the lesbian thing. You know what I'm saying? Lesbian shit and that. That's what they didn't want to jump off. Because, you know, back then that was like, say,
right. You know? Okay.
And the boy, who was it? What's the white boy that helped them write this? But anyway. He did real good with it. You know what I'm saying? We're giving it a little curve appeal, and he got a lot of kickback from that. push
oh,
back
about
from
Spielberg?
That.
I think
you know.
About Spielberg.
And he was, yeah. And Spielberg refused to give it any more than just that little curb appeal. But yeah, and it did great anyway. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So yeah, so I will say, okay, thank you for giving me more of the history for so you're right. That was super taboo in our community, kind of, you know, to a degree.
Yeah.
To the so you're saying, okay, so most of the African Americans that were against it, that was more of the issue than necessarily the portrayal of how the black man would be portrayed. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I respect that. I mm-hmm. thought it would have had something to do with how, you know, again, and I'm not the only brother that in a sense feel the way I feel about it. So again, I didn't even want to see it. Let me, you know, and I'll be honest, it ended up being, you know, it was well done again, dynamic cast. I can't run from that. And, you know, I can even say I enjoyed it with a grain of salt because once again, there wasn't one redeeming quality. And here it is. It's not that alone is the issue. The issue for me is we kind of remaking and it's presented so one-sided. Like, the situation is presented so one-sided. Because I remember the sisters at the party, they were highlighting, hey, that was a reality. That kind of stuff really went on. And I absolutely understand that unfortunately, that type of behavior where the women were almost treated as if they were animals to a degree in some of those situations, right? Where he just marries her off. Like, yo, you can't marry this daughter, but you can have this one. Like, you know what I mean? And boom, get out of here. You're married to this guy now. You know what I mean? So even in my pushback, I'm not pushing back as if I don't understand that some of those aspects were unfortunate realities of those times. I'm not devoid of that thought process. However, the issue is when you have the opportunity to make a movie depicting of times to a degree, while that story is in there, you can't tell me there's no redeeming men of the time, because there's not one redeeming man in the time.
But
so
that
it's
was
just,
the book.
Go ahead.
That's the book. You know what I'm saying? That was the book that they dropped into the, you know what I'm saying, like into the big screen. So it's not going to, every movie is not going to give all of our everything. You know what I'm saying? That was just the book that came to the screen, which was dope. You know, and I think this will go back into our need to bring even more of our stories to life. You know, other authors, other books, other things. You know what I'm saying? That we can begin to put on the screen. But again, that's going to come into us investing in us, also. You know, but yeah.
No,
so
I agree with that.
You're right. There were definitely good men. My grandfather was a man of those times. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, the great greats and stuff. So, yeah, that it wasn't all men were this one-dimensional character kind of thing. You know, but it was the book. It was just the book.
Let me throw this out. So, you've been on plenty of our conversations. We do hard conversations on race, sex, and culture, right? And so for the callers out there, if you want to jump in, please press 1. We see you out there. Hope y'all are hearing me. If you want to join the conversation, all you have to do is press 1 on your phone, and you can join our conversation.
Y'all press 1 and chime in.
I see y'all out there. But again, some people just want to listen, so I don't want to bring somebody on who's not wanting to be brought live on the air. But you do have to press 1. So what you've been on plenty of our conversations where we've had these conversations about race, sex, and culture. And so let me throw out this as just a thought. With this, unfortunately, I would say growing gender war, I would still say mostly online, the majority of people, majority of African Americans that are in the dating market, if you will, I would like to say, I don't think in real life, and especially for people that are not caught up online, there's not a gender war. I don't, in a sense, there's an aspect of the gender war not being real. As far as the number of people, quote unquote, going back and forth online exaggerates that reality. But we also would be lying to act like that issue is not growing. So since I think we can agree that it is growing, unfortunately, what about, this is just a thought, what about Color Purple being dropped at this time when we're already watching, in a sense, black men and black women being at each other's throats? specifically online and now a growing issue. I don't know that this movie sits, because, you know, media, propaganda, all can play a role in how we see one another. I don't know that this is the best time. What's your thoughts on that, Queen?
I mean, I don't know if there is a best time. Like, there's always going to be something going on. You know what I'm saying? And even in the now, like you said, I agree. I think that's mostly like the online crazy, because that still ain't in the circles that I run in. You know what I'm saying? And the people that I know. So I don't even give that kind of ish energy like that. I'm excited about it showing up. There was a black woman author. That cast was all black. And Taraji got her check this time. Okay? I mean, you know, she had a little redirect. She ain't just taking laying down and stuff. She's like, now, wait a minute. Okay? You know, them sisters, our people got their checks this time around. And it was good. They made 25 mil day one. That's the thing that I'm focused on, I'm excited about, and I keep pushing. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
So you know, and this is something that you and I have kind of disagreed when what was the other movie we went back and forth with real hard?
Woman King. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Woman King, you know. So, you know, you and I vehemently disagree.
This is also one of my favorites. Okay.
Yeah, I know. You know, you and I vehemently disagree on the, so when you say I don't know if there's a best time, I'm going as far as saying there's a best time not to do the movie. So I'm going that far with it. I'm not saying that there is a time that, you know, if we're going to revisit a remake, revisiting a remake that, unfortunately, in my opinion, only reinforces the stereotypes that do not serve our community well. So, again, I respect your perspective 100%. You know, again, we disagree on that. Go ahead, Queen. Go ahead.
But you know what, though, Montoya, kind of keep in mind that when these people are making these movies are not just coming out in 6 months. These are years, you know what I'm saying, that they're working on these things a lot of times, that they put these things out about, like, when they want to release these things. So it's like, once you put it out, you don't just go back and change it every time. You know what I'm saying? There's a twist and turn in conversations or things like that. It's like, look, this is already projected. Oftentimes they've already projected like their release dates and things like that, and it just so happens to fall up in a climate where social media is entertaining crazy. And that's not even all of social media, because my timeline don't rock like that. You know what I'm saying? I'm typically going to shut it down. But, yeah, I think that's also to be taken into consideration too. So, you know, that's my
opinion. Yeah, I hear you. You just don't hear me clearly saying.
And you can't just keep changing your date.
But here it is. Here it is. What you're missing in what I'm saying, just throwing it out here, is I'm saying this is not a remake to make. So, I mean, I'm not even talking about – I'm like, this is not even a remake to make. That's all I'm hollering. Like, I'm coming from that perspective.
Yeah.
Because, again, you know, we've had shows on the influence of music and movie. And, again, I think it all goes hand in hand. And it never surprises me that America, if you will, quickly wants to – continue to show us in a negative light. Now, and so because of that, I'm never a fan of those seeds that are planted via the media, whether that be movies, whether that be music. I'm not a fan of that, if you will. Again, for the callers that are out there, please hit the one if you want to jump. Matter of fact, we got somebody that wants to jump in. Area code 404-3, last 3745. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents on this morning's discussion.
Good morning and greetings. This is Shay, and I'm in Atlanta.
Hey, how you doing, Queen? What you got
Hey, Shay. Hey, I'm doing good. I'm loving this discussion. And I'm laughing, too. Hopefully it's not too loud. I'm leaving the grocery store with the car.
No, you're good.
You
can't
hear
your background. You sound clear for us.
Good. I just want to say that I left the movie feeling highly spirited. I love the triumph of the main character. And I am a woman who does not subscribe to the gender war conversation. I've had mm-hmm. wonderful men in my life, from, you know, from my father to my brothers to, and I'm not talking about biological brothers, I'm just talking about men who have in my life displayed, like, I'm your brother, I'm here for you, I got you. to countless men in the community. I grew up here in Atlanta in a very kind of close-knit culture, race first, if you will, community. And so I don't subscribe to the gender wars. It's not real in my life. I see it on social media. And with that being said, again, I walked away from the movie feeling very good, very spirited. And for all the things that the sister has already talked about, the whys as far as why she, you know, subscribed to the movie or enjoyed the movie, I have to say I feel the same. And I love the point, because the point that I was planning on making was the point about the movie not set up to showcase all of the things. Yes, I'm sure there was some great, you know, black men, plenty of them, you know, in and around that fake town, if you will. So I don't think all of that was supposed to be displayed. You know, the movie had a main focus. They did a very, very good job of getting it across. And that was that. That's a part of our reality, too, needing to be bonded with sisters, needing to, you know, sometimes certain, you can have rivers between friends, sisters, as women. And we need to see that. You know, when we talk about sister circles or holding your sister up and things of that nature, the movie just really reinforced that and, like, making it through really, really tough times. So I think they came to do a thing and they did it.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that clearly. I hear that clearly. Is it possible that it also reinforces the negativity of how we look at those times? And when let me bring a bigger context here, a bigger context from the standpoint of myself, like both of you, I'm not in a circle where the gender war is real within my circle. However, again, it, just because it's not real in our relative circle, we still have to be aware of, I don't think we all three are aware, because I know both of you, that the black family has been under attack for so long. And so as a part of that attack, now people, in a sense, don't even talk favorably of marriage in these times. And when we think about old times, there's a context that people put old times in the context of the Color Purple movie. Like, people actually do that and look at, they hear about the negative things that happen and almost overplay that as if that's all that happened, even during those times. So it's kind of say, well, yeah, they stayed together, but look at what they stayed together through. I'm not doing that. And it almost justifies not getting married today. That's a stretch what I'm saying, but I don't think it's completely off either. Say, if you will, give me your response to that as our guest call in, and we'll go to break and continue that conversation. Go ahead. Just give me a quick response before we go to break.
Okay. So to be fair, you said a lot there. and what I will hang on is, yeah, that was a bit of a stretch. That was a bit of a stretch, because I'm just going to answer that question. I do think that was a bit of a stretch. I understand what you're talking about as far as marriage not being, I guess people and women in particular looking at not getting married. Well, no, I can't say women in particular. Men and women looking at why marriage is not viable or why we have better ideas and whatnot. But I'm going to throw you a curveball, because what I'm hearing from many circles, men and women, some I really respect, is that if the woman, if only the woman, will get herself together, then the man doesn't have any choice but to follow that, in a sense, the righteous man, the one that wants to be paired, the one that wants to have women that he's not only attracted to but sees value in, right? So if sisters are looking at what happened with Celie and Fantasia's character, then maybe, just maybe, that's empowering to many women to, if they're not on the right path or there are things in their lives that they need to clean up and take responsibility for, which she did for sure. Maybe that would help several women to appear or become more of a value to the men that want to be paired, that want to be married. And then them other jokers who just can't see it for women, let them be.
Now, let me
yeah,
jump
and,
let me,
things with,
let me jump,
with,
no, let me jump
with
here. I gotta go to break. I gotta break. I gotta go to break. Jenna, I remember break.
Okay.
Break.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I'll let y'all. Yeah, I'll let y'all. Shay, do you have any more time? I know you got. Do you need to get? Because I want to ask you a question about what you said, but I gotta go to break. Do you have any more time?
I got a couple more minutes. Yeah.
Yep. If you have to drop off, please just drop off. No problem. Let me get this breakout. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think. LNG Technology Services, we are your industry leader in aircraft and heavy equipment repair services. In commercial business for over 15 years, LNG technicians have over 150 years of equipment-specific knowledge and are known industry-wide for returning worn-out, broken, and overused ground support equipment back to the user in working better than new conditions. For a service job done right at a value unparalleled in the industry, contact LNG Technology Services at 478-781-4860. Again, for a service job done right, that number is 478-781-4860. LNG Technologies is a Mental Dialogue Gold member and proud sponsor of the Mental Dialogue community.
So hard, being gracious at what I do, getting paid a fraction of the cost. I'm tired of hearing my sister say the same thing over and over. You get tired. I hear people go, you work a lot.
Yes.
Well, have to. The math ain't mathing. And when you start working a lot, you know, you have a team. Big bills come with what we do. We don't do this alone. The fact that we're up is a whole entire team behind us.
Yes.
They have to get paid. So when you hear someone saying, oh, such and such made $10 million, no, that's not that didn't make it to their account.
Mm.
Know that off the top, Uncle Sam is getting 50%.
That's right.
Okay? Mm. So do the math. Now we have $5 million. Mm. Your team is getting 30% or whatever your team is off of what you gross.
Sometimes
not
more.
After what Uncle Sam took. Now do the math.
Mm.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, along with special guest co-host Jendaya Hill-Jones. This morning is our open call. Whatever you want to discuss, give us your 3 cents. So call in and give us a topic, and we'll wrap on it. I've still got Shay on the line as we were just kind of finishing up our Color Purple conversation. I definitely want to get into it. You just heard with Taraji P. But Shay, real quick, my question, and it was just so that I can get a better understanding, because again, like you say, you were throwing me a curveball. You said something about the aspect, I guess, the main character taking a level of responsibility and getting to a space to where men and women can come together and support each other. At least that's how I heard it. Help me understand it from the movie what you recall in a sense of what do you consider her taking the level of responsibility that could be a benefit in how we look at pairing today, if that makes sense. I just want to just understand what you mean by it. I don't know, you got to go. I just want to understand that before you went, though.
So throughout the movie, of course, the movie started out where, to the point made earlier, she was literally treated like an animal, literally treated like she was not even human. And by the end of the movie, she's triumphant. And yes, she may have received an inheritance, but with all that was thrown her way, that could have easily broken her to where there was no garment store. There was no employment of all these other women. There was no family circle at the end where that was her annual dinner, right? All of those things have to come from a place of strength. And so when I'm saying taking responsibility, I'm saying taking responsibility for the space that you take up. She did not come to the world continually as broken. She got better and better and better and became, you know, she was always valuable, but became of just increased value. And so what I'm saying is, In several conversations that I've heard, people will talk about if women would just, then everything would be fine. You know, if women led the way and were better, then the man wouldn't have a choice. But right, to be better. And so that was the curveball that I was given. Because like I said, when you approached the question or comment that you gave me, it was a lot and I didn't capture it all. But as you were stretching to make that point, I'm not going to say my point is necessarily a stretch. You could see it as that. But I'm saying that her becoming more valuable to the community in such a big way, and not necessarily coming from a broken place in a sense anymore.
Yeah, I just wanted to understand. Yeah. I wasn't questioning. I just, when you said, you know, that, I wanted to understand what you meant. So thanks for the explanation, and I know you got to go. So appreciate your 3 cents, Jedi. I know you wanted to make some comments. So, of course, you can keep listening as Jedi responds to you as well. So go ahead, Jedi. I know you had a response to Shay as well. Go ahead, Queen. Thank you, Shay, for the call as well.
Yeah, appreciate you chiming in, Shay. And I second everything Shay just said, even when it came to, like, the depictions of the relationships, you know, between Sophia and her old man, you know what I'm saying, and their marriage. And they had challenges, but they pulled through. And then Suge being able to, you know, she got it right. You know, she got it right with her man. And, you know, so there were, like, those things that we could also highlight and high five on as well. I just think that when it comes to, like, the negative connotations, depending on where people are, like, you're going to grab what you want of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
and even if it was a good thing, it was going to be a but. It was going to be, I mean, yeah, but that ain't real. But that ain't, it's always going to be something for somebody. We can't save all the people at the same time. You know what I'm saying? But prayerfully, it just chimes in, and you just, you know, you move with what you feel on it. And I feel, I'm with the sister Shay on just like some of those TBs. I mean, okay, so before we just jump in a back and forth on that, I want to bring it back in right fast.
Well,
okay.
Like I said, I want to jump to another subject too, so I'm not going to back and forth with you. I'm letting you get it off. So go ahead, Queen. Just so you know, I'm not going
to Okay, so I got one we need to chime in. If for the listeners out there, you know what I'm saying, I need y'all to chime in on this and go on and press the one button. What was your favorite lines or some of your favorite lines in Color Purple? Because, honey, when I was a teenager, man, we memorized. We could, like, talk through the whole joint, you know what I'm saying, with whatever the lines was. What was your favorite line, Montoya? Because I know you had a few in there.
I heard. Well, they said once that was specifically from the movie, but you putting me on the spot. I'm not gonna be able to do it while I'm on the spot. I'm not that good with it. But there was definitely some great. Like, there was one that had the whole room laughing because it was so classic from the first one, and they said it verbatim.
Yeah.
And right now, because you're putting me on the spot, my mind ain't that quick. I'm gonna keep it a buck with you. If anybody remember them or see them or remember the last ones, definitely bring it to the table. But yeah, for the callers
press
out there, if you want to jump in, yeah, definitely you want to jump in, please press one. But I definitely wanted to highlight, and I also wanted to even say to you, you know, and Shay, if she happens to still be listening, that you know, at the end of the movie, most of the families, in a sense, came back together. So there are absolutely aspects of what y'all saying as a part of it as well. So I definitely want to be fair to y'all response. But with that said, I wanted to jump into a hot item that's, you know, been hot, was the Taraji P being upset on whatever podcast that was, that she, you know, and unfortunately broke down crying, being, you know, just saying upset about what she continues to get paid, and that she really doesn't even, in a sense, have joy, but she kind of stays in the game, if you will, because she know the sisters are trying to come behind her. But at the end of the day, she's still, in a sense, always fighting for pay. And so that was a big thing, and I wanted to, you know, give some dialogue on that. I know you heard the cut, so I'll just kind of hear your thoughts on it. I'm pretty sure what I'm about to say is going to, once again, be quite controversial, because I'll be honest. I love Taraji P. Let me start there, but I'm pretty sure when I give my response, people are going to think I don't like her. I love her. I've seen most of her movies. I love her. So let me say that before people hear my response. But before I say my part, you mentioned it prior to us playing the cut, and then you heard the cut. Jedi, your thoughts about Taraji P's, I would almost say, breakdown in discussing her pay on that podcast. Your thoughts, Queen?
Yeah, how do kids say it today? I appreciate Sarazi standing on business out loud. You know, she was acknowledging, you know what I'm saying, like the pay that she's experienced and many other black actors and actresses have experienced in that business. And I think that it needs to be spoken aloud even more. But also for them to be able to reach for the bag as they should, you know. And we can say all day, you know, well, how much so-and-so get paid, they get paid, because that was a lot of that, too, about who has the bigger role and who's the bigger person in these movies. But, I mean, come on, pennies on the dime, though. You know, like, I know you saw the one where they were comparing her to, what's that white boy? When she was in that Benjamin Button movie, that Button.
She was in there with, Golly, yeah, with the star Benjamin Button. I can't think of his name right now, but let me look it up while we go. I'll look it up while you're talking.
Yeah,
talking
so anyway, but yeah, that a lot of that was being like continuously like reshared, and I was like, you know, when I was in the comments of that, like that, it was disgusting, because in real time, even if a person, even if that dude has like this type
Brad
of repertoire, he's yeah, Brad Pitt, right? Oh, that's no comparison. She can't expect to say, you know, y'all did Monique the same way. But anyway, you know, this brother, I mean, this dude in comparison, if he made $10 million, y'all think it was cool for this girl to make $100,000? And the movie made, like, sometimes, you know what I'm saying? So I think like, I applaud her for her bravery to get out there, because, you know, that blackball thing is real, to say it out loud. You know, and one time for her recognizing that her decisions to do so did not just solely represent her. It was about those that were coming up, the young girls and even the other actresses, you know, coming up behind her. Mm-hmm. So I did,
absolutely.
I thought it was righteous.
So
you know?
Yeah. That's fair. Let me throw this out. Let me say that I'm 100% with her, you know, because to what you just said at the end, to your point, she doesn't have to do that, right? And we absolutely love when someone stays committed to the culture and say, this is bigger than me. I'll stay fighting, especially for those who come behind me, because, you know, our reality is whatever we enjoy today, we are absolutely on the shoulders of our ancestors who went through way more than most of us have been through to even enjoy the lives that we enjoy. So I'm 100% with her on that. I absolutely want all of us in any industry, at any job, whatever, to get every penny we deserve. I'm leading with that to highlight a perspective that I think we unfortunately fail to realize, and I got to do this to myself. I'm going to go to this break and talk about it after the break, because sometimes the break cut me off too. So for anybody listening, I'm going to give you there are some aspects that I think we miss as a culture when it comes to this pay scale in Hollywood. And one of my young members, you know, highlighted how we sometimes, unfortunately, look at what's happening in Hollywood and try to equate it to our lives, and they're two different things. So when I come back from break, I'll break that down and see what you think about that as well, Jindal. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think. Psychologist Dr. Gerald Hassel and Omar Buckner, founders of Self Mastery Retreats International, is proud to present a transformative experience specifically designed by black men for black men. This immersive retreat offers a unique opportunity for black men to forge deep bonds, enhance their personal growth, and empower themselves to create positive change in their lives, families, and communities. For 5 days in the sacred surroundings of Puerto Morales, Mexico, a select group of powerful black men will embark on a journey of self-discovery, creating a safe and supportive space to share their experience and build a strong sense of community. This trip will truly transform your life and takes place February the 15th through 19th, 2024. If interested, text SELF-MASTERY to 678-548-2456. Again, that is SELF-MASTERY to 678-548-2456 to receive a direct link for the retreat. I think they only got a couple of slots left, but that is with Dr. G. You've heard him on the show 30 years in the psychotherapy space, self-mastery at the highest degree. Also have an offer for our members to get self-mastery sessions with Dr. G, three sessions for $125 for our Black Level members. So keep that in mind if you want to support this type of radio and this community club. Definitely reach out to me and become a member and get the discounts on your psychotherapy sessions. But better yet, if you are a Black man that wants to enjoy time away outside of the States, get your mind right and come back stronger, definitely hit Dr. G up for that retreat. With that said, this morning is an open call. Whatever you want to discuss, want your three cents, the intellectual outcast, y'all are the smartest audience out in radio. And so it was kind of meant myself and my queen, Jendaya, Queens of Intellect, co-host this morning. We were been dialoguing about Color Purple. Now we were talking about Taraji P and her, unfortunate, I would say, breakdown about fighting for pay in Hollywood and for the people that come behind her, which, again, me and Jendaya both are in full support of. However, my however is there's a context that I think sometimes get that is lost on our community on how the marketplace plays out. And so, yeah, I did see, to your point, Jendaya, I did see those comparisons online, the $10 million to her, eventually $150,000 or whatever. She asked for $500,000. They were trying to pay her $100,000, and she ended up getting $150,000. And so I know you said you saw the comments and you didn't like the comments. So the marketplace plays out in a way that sometimes, in my opinion, that as African Americans, we get lost on this perspective. And this is not me being okay. Again, I want us to get every coin we deserve. Now, I want to stand on that before I make this point for consideration. One of my favorite shows we've done on this show was Reorienting from Whiteness. And so I'm throwing that out to lay out this perspective. So when it comes to marketplace dynamics, the marketplace, in a sense, pays you what it can based on, when you start talking about Hollywood, the investors into the movie, and they're saying, I'm paying this, if I'm paying a Brad Pitt $10 million, it's because he can make us double that, triple that, or as you said, Benjamin Button, it definitely was, an amazing movie or whatever. And so if I'm paying him $10 million, it's because we can make way more than that. And Taraji, who had been an excellent actress throughout her career, if you will, I think she won an award for that movie, if I recall. And it was, in a sense, yeah, for the rest of Hollywood, if you will, it was her coming out party to the people in Hollywood, if you will. Obviously, as African Americans, we had already been rocking with Taraji completely or whatever. She ended up being, we all understand the key character, obviously in the role that she was, and she did so damn well, she won an award. So I'm applauding all of that. The reality of when you're, as we talked about with Color Purple, when you highlighted these movies are planned out years in advance and all this type of stuff at the time, again, I'm not making this okay. Her even negotiating to 150, unfortunately, the star of the show is really whoever they think can draw the most people. That person gets a big bag. Sometimes they'll do two co-stars in movies. Typically they don't, but every now and then they got a big enough budget, they'll do two big co-stars, and everybody else falls down the scale because they're not necessarily thought of. Will this person bring somebody to the table? That's why a Denzel has, been getting $20 million way back in the 80s because he had become that level of a star. The marketplace was Denzel. Oh, we can pay him $20 because for him alone is going to make us $80. So I'm just highlighting that, again, I'm not happy about her pay scale, but we sometimes forget marketplace, what the investor and the people with the budget are saying. They still have to come out and make money. And so what happens is the big budget is on the draw. Everybody else is basically an expense to make the movie outside of the major star. All the rest of the co-stars are not looked at as they will make us the money. The major star makes the money. And so, unfortunately, for white writers in Hollywood, they still don't line Taraji P or see her as being able to do that. And the reality is, in a country in which we're 13%,
that's all alone.
Go ahead, Queen.
I mean, I don't know, because in real time, when you're talking about Hollywood and they bring in somebody to Taraji and they know what she means to the community, that, you know what I'm saying, they're pulling her in for a crossover game. You know what I'm saying? To pull in this audience. Okay. So, yeah, indeed, these people, you know, because let's be real now, their movies can tank too, because all his movies ain't just been hot. Okay, so if you don't have the right team around you, you know what I'm saying, the right actors, the right, you know, supporting actors and actresses and things like that, yeah, it can go from 100 to zero real quick. So being intentional about who they place around these prominent characters is just as relevant. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah,
then let me read.
She
ain't just no side chick in the movies now, okay? But, and consider the other movies where she has been the star in, you know. Acrimony, Hidden Figures, What Men Want, what is that movie? No Good Deed. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And she was solid. Playing Mary.
Well, that's never going to be an issue.
And
that's
even
never going to be a
being like the lead actress in some of these movies and not getting the pay. So let's just take him out of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't mind taking them out. For any of the callers out there, all you have to do is press 1. I see you jumping in and out, but you have to press 1 if you want to join the conversation. For anybody listening, the number to get in is 646-787-1691. I hope you're hearing me clearly. If you're on the phone line, press 1 to get into the conversation. 646-787-1691. And so yeah, I'll take Brad Pitt out of it easily. And, you know, she, if you recall, I know her history where she says the first time she got a real check was from Tyler Perry, who had niche market his movies to our community in the way in which he knew how to turn his money. And based on him being the producer and owner, he knew, boom, I can pay her this much. But he's still making the same decision that any producer and interview and investor is making when it comes to a movie. They're making the same decision. So based on the niche market that he has, you know, made him such a powerful player in Hollywood, he absolutely knows I cater to a black audience. They will come out for my stuff if I get Taraji. So for him, he gets to treat her like Brad Pitt because of who his audience is. I think you're absolutely correct, Jendaya, that Taraji is brought in for a crossover. Let me get more of them, if you will. But I'm just showing the reality of a marketplace dynamic is Taraji won't bring in what Meryl Streep brings in when she's a star. And I'm not talking about Meryl Streep being better than her. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the reality of demographics and who the movie is catered to. That's the reality of a marketplace. So Meryl Streep, and then here's another, one more thing, and I got a caller that's going to jump in. And one more thing is, I don't know if it was Taraji, but I heard another actor talking about how some of the other white actresses were teaching them how to negotiate better or whatever to get more pay. So when I saw that, what that tells me is those white actresses that are making more money, that are trying to help some of these sisters, what that tells me is that whatever their experience in Hollywood, they also know better negotiation techniques. So when those white actors will say, hey, it's telling them how to negotiate better, that's a learning curve. And you and I can agree on this. The learning curve comes from lack of access within those industries. And so what happens is we also, I think as an African-American community, have to be honest that lack of access can be somewhat intentional. And when in my opinion, we have to accept some of that reality so that we're not in a situation, in my opinion, where we're crying saying, why is this happening? When the marketplace just simply says, we just want to make our money. And to make our money, as good as even though you're a better actress than this girl, this lady over here, the reality is based on who we're going after, she can draw us more people. That's something that I think we do need to learn to, that's when I say accept, I'm not talking about accept from white people, if you will, but when we understand marketplace dynamics, that's why you get, in my opinion, a Tyler Perry becoming an owner to, in a sense, be able to control those dynamics. And I won't ever expect that industry to, quote unquote, pay us fair, but I also understand what demographic they're after. Your thoughts, Queen, and then I'm going to go to 803.
I can dig it. As far as like our level of negotiations in the various arenas and knowing how to communicate, like what the expectations are and when it comes to getting that check. So yeah, I agree with that. But let's go ahead and hit that caller on an 803. And for those chiming in, let's be clear that hey, y'all ain't got to keep talking about what we talking about, okay?
whatever y'all want to talk about, we here for it.
So you ain't got to jump in on this conversation. Go on, say your thing, and we gonna play with you. Let's go.
Yeah, y'all could jump in and change the whole conversation because this is an open call. We don't do this too often. I do it usually for about an hour, but it was the last show of the year, so I wanted to throw a wrinkle when I lost last week's show. So I was like, let me do something a little different at the end of the year. 803, last 3057. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents or question on this morning's open call. Thanks for calling in.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing? What's your
name?
Good morning. This is Tanya. I'm calling from Montgomery, Alabama. What's up, Montoya?
Hey, how you doing, Queen? What you got for us? You can change the subject or jump on what we're talking about. Your
good morning, Zendaya. How are you? I think I am going to stay on this subject because I'm listening really intently, and I have to agree with you, Montoya. I have to agree with what you're saying because I think that oftentimes us as a people, we hear these things and we see these interviews and we just get so worked up, but we really don't stop to think and we really don't understand how things work. So I really enjoyed listening to you when you started talking about the marketplace, because when I hear, okay, Brad Pitt made $10 million and Taraji made $100,000, $150,000, and the first thing that people want to say is, oh, my God, that's so wrong, but they don't really understand how Hollywood, how marketplace, how all those things that you talked about works. And so I'm totally with you there because I feel like they're not really taken into account. You know, they have to look at the big star. They have to look at what's making money, what's bringing money to the studio. All they see is, oh, my God, the film made $100 million, and they only got this. But they're not looking at really the technical aspect and what really happens when a movie is made. You know, they have a certain scale. I heard you talk about the scaling, and, you know, they have to – take into account, you know, the scale and who's worth what, you know, and I don't really know the technical names and terms, but I do know a little bit about that background and how it works. And, you know, the average person, they don't really understand that. All they see is, okay, the film made $100 million. So what are they doing not paying this actress who we all think is the bomb and worth so much, you know, they're not paying her what she's worth. They think she should get $10 million, and it just doesn't work that way. So I think that we need to educate ourselves and really just, you know, they're just really busy going hard for Taraji. And don't get me wrong now. I love Taraji.
I love her to death.
Right?
Love her to
exactly. And I think she's a real talented actress, but you just can't jump in with things that you don't know about without really stopping to think and educating yourself on really how it works before you get too hyped up and, you know, talking bad about different people and whatnot. That's my 3 cents. I love it.
I mean, of course I love it because you're agreeing with me, so that makes it even better for
me. Of course.
I'm with you. And I can dig it. I get both sides of the pendulum.
Right, much respect. I agree with those points.
Absolutely. We'll talk a little bit more about it unless the next caller takes us in a different direction.
Okay,
we are at the top of the hour.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Thank you for jumping in with us. We definitely appreciate that.
We need this other direction.
No problem.
Absolutely. All right, Queen.
All right.
We are against the break, so 5:02, we'll get you coming out of the break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
Babe, where did you get that hat and t-shirt? I like that.
Oh, I got this at moneymotivation.com. It's fresh, right?
Yes, and I love the message on it, too. You are the hustle, huh?
That's what the shirt says. I am the hustle. They embody the entrepreneurial spirit, and what I like the most, it's more than a brand. It's a lifestyle for those who want to put in the work and expect to have the finer things in life. I also follow them on Instagram. Check this post out.
If you believe money is the root of all evil, you're using it wrong?
Or how about this one? Excuses made $0 an hour.
I like those. What's their IG?
At moneymotivation.co.
But do they have any ladies' gear?
Yes, you're going to love the clothing line they got for the ladies. Matter of fact, pull up their website, moneymotivation.com, and I'm going to get you a few things so we can both look like money.
Everywhere I go, go, and everywhere I be, I don't even talk, talk, they still know it's me. Cause I look like money, smell like money, talk like money, even walk like money.
So I tell the nigga Mace, I say, yo, I'm going to take a duffel bag tomorrow, yo, until we get these papers together. Mace, like, how much you take? I'm like, I'm taking a quarter ticket to him. He's like, I bet, come grab 252. So I went and got on a jet, went to meet Mark, had the bag. Mark said, what's this? I said, it's yours. So we get all the paperwork and everything. He said, I can't take this. I said, Mark, I'm just trying to let you know I'm dead serious, yeah, my nigga. So Mark was like, you know, we talked about the, you know, having his own show, coming on our show, you know, a couple times to present his own show. And he was, you know, it took us a while just because I believe he thought we was trying to get over on him. He brought Underdog Fantasy in, got him equity in Underdog Fantasy, some stock options, ownership in the company. And he started seeing that when he started seeing the ownership and the equity he could get. It went like that. So he didn't take the money, though. He's like, I'm not taking that back. I was like, Mark, it's yours. I'm not leaving with it. But he didn't take the money. But that's how serious we was. We went over there with some bread and said, Mark, we just here to show you cash. Nigga, this yours. You don't even got to worry about it. We'll use this when the deal get done. And that's how serious me and Mace was about just wanting Mark to get his own money and not niggas playing with that nigga like that, where they could be like, oh, we're going through budget cuts, so we can't have you here, and so on and so forth. Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, along with special guest co-host and Queens of Intellect, Memage, and Daya Hill Jones. This morning is our open call. We're discussing whatever you want to discuss. Give us your 3 cents. That real quick before we go to the caller, that cut with Cameron is going to bleed it to some of what we were just talking about. And one of the other things that I wanted to highlight, a bigger picture, and obviously I love the last callers in a sense, just jumping into it from the other perspective, and that's specifically the Hollywood dynamic. But the other bigger picture, in my opinion, and I briefly said this, the bigger picture is once you understand marketplace dynamics, then we can get out of a space where it's like, hey, we're begging for this, or we're upset, we're calling something unfair because we don't understand. I don't like that positioning, and you'll see how the Cameron and Mace cut about Mark Jackson plays into what I am saying. But let's jump to the caller. They may take us in a different direction, so we might have to get back to the cut. Area code 502, last 3283. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents on this morning's open call on the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. Thanks for calling in.
Let's go.
Hey, what's going on? This is Brant calling. I'm actually in Spartanburg, South Carolina right now, one of our homeboys location.
Oh, okay. You round my way, boy. What's up? You in the South Fleet? Right. What you doing, B-Funk, in the South Fleet, man?
Right, right. What's going on with y'all? Appreciate the discussion. It is very lively, and I don't know if I take it in another direction. I will ask this question. What would you rather remake of, The Color Purple or Beloved? You know, Oprah said Beloved was her baby and that thing. And I'm talking bad about Beloved, but I actually thought that was a good movie. I encourage you to go back and look at it again. I thought it was an intriguing black horror movie, and this ain't what I'm talking about. But And you think I'm joking, but go back and look at it, and I didn't realize until the very end that the girl was the ghost and all this stuff, but
I had to watch it more than once, too.
And Danny Glover's role in there, I thought it was a interesting role that you might go back and look at and see how he was a positive role in that family that was going through a lot of tumult that was centered around Oprah and her behavior. So anyway, just thinking about that, when Oprah said that was her baby, I always liked watching that. I wanted to focus on something that Taraji P. Said, and it was, she said it a couple times, and y'all probably didn't pay attention to it, but I think it speaks to a bigger picture of where our community is, where our culture is, and not just our culture and black people, but I mean just in America in general. And as we move into 2024, some things that it highlights the area that I would like to see outlets like yours and others educate us more on. She said, and that is in the area of civics, and I think we have a huge lack of understanding of what civics is, how it plays in our everyday life, even though we complain about it every day, we speak to it every day. She said, with her reference to her pay, after Uncle Sam takes, whenever people talk about taxes and they say take, or in the sense of it was, they had to give this money away, I always say, what did you pour with those taxes? Mm-hmm. And they may be justified in, saying that we are paying too many taxes, but what did you pay for? And when you think about, if you can't mm-hmm. speak to what you paid for, it may speak to a greater role that you need to, or more education that you need to do in your local civics in terms of education, the city, what it's supposed to be doing for you, Flint, Michigan, and its water. What did you pay for? Did you get what you paid for? And then on the national level, EPA, what those things that the federal government does, our mm-hmm. military, things like that. What did you pay for, and are you getting the value for your money? And if we look at it from that aspect, I think that would lead us to educating ourselves more on from the civics aspect. And before you respond, I ask you another question. I wanted to congratulate you, Montoya, on a great book that you introduced to us this year.
Thank you, brother.
And somebody asked me, I was on the school board I finished my 7 years on the school board this past April. And after it was sometime in the summer and a bunch of craziness going on, somebody asked me, ain't you glad you don't have to run for election anymore? And I said to him, no. And I referenced the first paragraph in your book, man.
Oh,
the
wow.
The first paragraph in mm-hmm. the first chapter of your book, say, and I wish I was home and I would read it out here because I think it's so important. But
I'm looking at the book right now because I was going to share some of it later. You're talking about the very first page?
The first chapter.
If you come to distrust America, at least hope the game is fair, possibly? Is it that line?
I think the last line references you have to participate.
Okay.
We have to participate. And that's what I got from it is we have to be in this game, and to be in the game, we have to be educated on what's going on around us. What are we paying for? And ensure the people that are out here representing us that we are voting on have our interests, and we don't just vote, A lot mm-hmm. of times I say black people are like sugar in a bad glass of tea. And we sitting at the bottom and they shake us up every 4 years when they need it to taste right, when they won't take a sip.
Oh,
and then
God,
over that 4 years we sink right back to the bottom and the world operates above our heads. while we just sit here.
You know what I'm saying? I'm loving that analogy, brother. Let me jump in here, man, because I love where you're taking us. I love where you're taking us. Again, this is why I call y'all the smartest audience in all of radio, because no way did I hear that the P angle would move us in this direction. But I love where you're going right now, and I would love to, again, just piggyback a little bit and offer my 3 cents back to you, if you will, in this sense. Not only are you 100% right, and I want to just really reiterate where Brent started his part of his conversation when he started his talk, if you will, his rant, if you want to call it. He started with the concept of her saying when Uncle Sam takes, it's taxes. And that's how we quite often reference it as a culture, not simply black people, if you will, but as a culture, that's how we look at it. And I want to kind of walk through that a little bit, because he's absolutely right in this sense. And I would highly recommend people that already follow us, go back and listen to our show that we did on why Elon Musk pays $0 in taxes. And it'll give you some of the education that B-Funk, I call my boy B-Funk, I know, or Brent, or whatever, is talking about. Here's the reality. We have a societal contract with our government, if you will, locally, state level, federal level, to his point, in which these taxes are supposed to be used to our own benefit or the community's benefit in a way that we all kind of mutually agree. So to Brent's point, when we even reference the government took half, the language matters, because that's how we can become that sugar at the bottom of his analogy, the bottom of his iced tea. Because if we're only looking at it as they took something, then that means we're not even concerned with what they're doing with our tax money. And we're not even focused on having a say on something we rightfully should have a say in, quote unquote, based on how American history is taught. We partly became a United States because of taxation without representation. So I know we're going a little deep here, but I love what B-Funk is bringing to the table. And you're absolutely right that even in our language, if we just say, I hate that Uncle Sam took my taxes, you're probably also not that civically involved as well, because you have a right to say which politician is in place and what they're doing with their tax money. And if you don't think on that perspective, then you're absolutely right. Uncle Sam is just taking your money because you don't care. I went pretty hard there, but I think that's what I hear you saying, B-Funk, and you're right. You can't complain if you're not playing in the game. And that is a underlying sentiment from my book, Reeducation of the Negro, that Brent was referring to. Brother, give me a quick response. Definitely want to hear what Jediah has to, you know, her 3 cents on what she's hearing as well. But again, I don't want to keep you too long, so I'll give you a response and then I'll let Jediah jump in.
No, I think you're exactly right, and that is where I'm coming from. I'm glad it came across the way I tried to present it. And you know, you referencing the social contract, the social contract, I think that's important. I've referenced that in some of our private discussions mm-hmm. before, because, you know, we kind of forget about this whole Constitution thing and mm-hmm. where we are going right now. That, you know, you had Thomas Hobbes who talked about the social contract. He was in favor of the sovereign over the subjects. He, like a king, had to have authority over the people to mm-hmm. Be able to keep order and abide by laws. Then you had the other side, John Locke, who also spoke of the social contract, who said the sovereign is equal to the people. And these mm-hmm. are all discussions that are relevant today if you listen to what we're saying about a former president, 45, who is trying to say, I am immune from the things that I might have played a part in that are illegal for the subjects. And who do we had? The judge in Washington, D.C., she said, you are not a king. You know what I mean? These mm-hmm. are all things that we say, why do we pay attention to this history stuff? What is this social contract theory? Mm-hmm. You know, real quick, it makes me think about some of our wayward, and I don't mean it in a condescending way, but I think we're giving a lot of credit to people like Ice Cube and a lot of brothers that are following this 45 admiration line that they have. 13th came out several years ago talking about flaws in the Constitution. And you remember 13th?
Yeah, absolutely.
It talked about flaws in the Constitution, and then 45 kind of takes a is pulling a lot of us in, because a lot of us saying, man, this Constitution thing is jacked. Look what it's done to us over 140 years since emancipation.
Now I'm gonna ask you one thing, because I don't know if you're gonna make the reference again. I'm big on just calling the presidents by their name and, again, have the dialogue.
Okay.
Go ahead. Yep, just go ahead, brother. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. So me and my family, my wife who passed away a couple years ago, we said we would never – the name who shall not be spoken, that's how we refer to him, is 45, because he is about to be the death of democracy. But he is saying to folks, we can suspend the Constitution. And we got brothers out here who watch 13th and hear all this discussion about the flaws in the Constitution, and they're mm-hmm. advocating for reelection of somebody who says we can suspend the Constitution. We have to understand what that means for somebody to say something like that.
And we're not referring to a wartime period, and so
absolutely.
Yeah. So what you're talking about is, while we can be very dismissive of history, partly because of how we're taught it in school, it's typically done in a boring way. You're just highlighting all these things matter, and if you don't have a basic knowledge of it, then people can get away and they're really throwing out verbiage. They have intent, but the community, the society can miss that intent if we don't just have basic understanding of some of the things that you're talking about, that, as you said, civics was a major thing throughout history. Now it's kind of happenstance, and that creates an environment in which some of these things can happen. Keep going what you're talking about again, because this is y'all show, brother. So yeah, go ahead and finish it. Keep going through your dialogue.
That's just kind of part of the highlight that, you know, these things have happened in history. These things are important, and we dismiss it because who we generally are, and I'm not excluding myself, is we know a lot about a little and just a little about a lot. And in our life, we know about our workplace, our culture, and, you know, our family. That's what we know a lot about, but the things we know a little about, we need to know a lot more about, and that is the things that dark water that operates above our, you know, our sugar land. Mm-hmm. We have to be steeped in the tea from the beginning, and we can't come around every 4 years and be a part. So I hope. I would like to see more of this education. You know, there's radio, black radio stations out there that have civics every Saturday morning and stuff like that, because they understand, you know, where we lack. You talked about earlier you didn't like
The Color Purple
because of its depiction. And I would say that that's almost what we see in places like Florida, in places where we banning books in Texas and changing education curriculum and things like that. We have to be careful saying we don't like it because it depicts something the wrong way. Do you think that's much different, what you're saying, is what we see in places where they change it because they don't like history that makes our white kids feel embarrassed?
Thank you for that challenge. I absolutely, right now, hear it, you know, head to head. that I'm at risk of the very same thing just based on you bringing that to me. I definitely respect that. Jindal, any thoughts about anything that Brent's bringing to the table? Again, because it's their show, so we could talk about anything the callers want to talk about. Any your thoughts, Queen?
Indeed. I will say that because that was a lot, but the things that really stood out for me was I appreciate like the piece you brought up about the sugar, honey. I need you to text that to me, okay? That was a good one.
Hey, I did copyright that, right?
Yeah, you definitely need to write that.
Drop it in the Mental Dialogue thread over there on Facebook, okay? But also, the social contract concept, just the language, like how you brought that up. I mean, that kind of helped me out a little bit, okay? Because being involved and knowing where the tax dollars go, yeah, it does make it easier to swallow, you know, especially with somebody being boots on the ground. So I can see how that's relevant. And until this moment, I didn't look at it like that either, but that was a really good point out. If you know where your tax dollars is going, then you're not really good at it. But now I do ask that, you know what I'm saying, that this responsibility be spread around, because I just feel that middle income catches this for both sides, all sides of the pendulum. But yeah, that right there, I can appreciate that, being able to shift that language to understand in that way.
If I could make a point on that, and
yeah, go ahead.
I don't want it to be easier to swallow, you know, when we say it. I want it to be, I don't agree with, now that I know what I'm paying for, just like you would at a restaurant, or a vinyl, or anything
else.
Right. When I know what I'm paying, when I see the receipts, now if I say, what am I paying for, I want to see the receipts. And I disagree with this. I'm voting you out. I disagree with this. Elon Musk should not be exempt. Let's find somebody who will change these laws for us. Or maybe I should run myself. The last month that I was on a school board, and this is how stuff happens, man, just so insidiously. Last month, we hired, 6 months earlier, we hired our first black administrator in the school district in like 15 years. She was a young lady, a principal. She supported my advocacy for increased minorities in our advanced programs and honors and all that. The teachers, a small faction of teachers, put a campaign against her to have her fired. She was fired before the school year was even over with.
Wow.
Simply
advocating, because I know enough about you, Brent, to know that your advocacy for having more blacks or minorities in these advanced programs, I know enough about you to know that your advocating was strictly from a fairness standpoint, because if they're missing, it's missing because there's some unfairness, and it's the only reason you would be advocating. And so to have her coming as the first black after 15 years just agreeing with you, she didn't even make it a year. Wow.
In less than a year, they fired. So it happened in April of this year. It's people like the people around me on the board. We had one sister, she was on there, she was kind of she advocated for her firing as well. But the people around the table, I know they felt like this is just one incident. I mean, those people ridiculed that girl. They talked about the way she talked, the way she dressed, the way she moved, and all of this. So they felt like, yeah, we'll get another principal. We're going to slide her into another job, and she'll be okay. That same month, and I let them notice, that same month in Tennessee, we had a state Congress, the state House, attempted to fire three, but in two white and one black congresspersons. They ended up successfully firing two black congressmen.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And shortly after that, we started seeing in Florida and Texas where people where the governors were firing district attorneys. All these people we're talking about are black, and But when it happens in our own little communities, and these white people, whether they understand it or not or appreciate what they're doing, it's, you know, oh, it's just this one time, you know. But as it happens as a collective, we see that there's the lack on their part, lack of understanding and appreciation of what they do to our communities. And we should see what happens when we don't participate.
Yeah, let me reiterate that one more time. Let me reiterate that. I'm going to let you go, brother. But I'm so glad and grateful for everything you brought to the table today. Because here's something that culturally, and I'll say to black people, that we do miss when it comes to, again, what Brent is talking about, civics and the need to participate. So here's a reality, and I've been saying this for years. And it's not just my thoughts. It's me studying a lot of history and philosophy and things of this nature. But what I've learned throughout my study of history, if you don't govern yourself, you're not participating in living. And governing yourself in an indigenous community may be your rituals and, you know, you got a elder group and you do it this way or whatever. But even if you're in that culture, and you decide not to participate in whatever they consider formally their structure for how they make decisions for within their society of how we will live amongst each other. If you don't choose for your family not to participate in that, then you will have no say. And so I'm highlighting the small indigenous situation to one mistake that we sometimes can make, and part of where our apathy comes from as a black community specifically is we do say, well, they always going to do those things. Like the examples you just gave before, if you will, were examples where a lot of people can listen to and be like, oh, I'm not surprised that that's how they're doing the black district attorneys. I'm not surprised that they did that to those Congress. Like we'll sit back and say, quote unquote, that's what they always do. If you're listening to what Brent is saying, the system is set up for us to participate, and you can have more control locally specifically so that these things are not happening. Now, I always make a case, Brent, and I want to hear your thoughts on this before you go. I always make a case that I think it is smart for us as African-Americans to consider insulating ourselves in communities around the country in which at least we can have majorities on the civic level because we live close to one another, so that it isn't just a casualty of those white people able to justify it and say, oh, that just happened one time, because it's going to be hard to expect others to, in a sense, move fairly in that sense. So I think those things will continue to happen wherever we are a small minority. However, in majority places, it doesn't get better if we still think we don't have to participate, if we still allow any and whoever to be in those positions. And even in places where we are the majority, these very same things can happen because of our devoid of participating in the social construct. Give me a final thought on that, brother, and I'm going to go to a break.
Sounds good. There is another philosophy that is out there that I've heard suggested, that we should move to places like Montana and out west where there's very small populations and concentrate ourselves, and we would have a greater influence on what happens nationally, but especially locally in what happens. Everybody doesn't have that luxury to be able to do that. And I believe from the community that I came up, predominantly white, it would be considered, as far as educational perspective, funding anyway, that it is an affluent community. I believe that most people want to do good. And when highlighted with the message, the things change over time. You know, I'm not a very patient person, but yeah, until we make the decision to move to Montana and those places out west where we can dominate We have to participate. We have to see when gerrymandering is how it's impacting, and not to say that it's just one side or the other taking advantage of gerrymandering, but how does that impact us? What can I do? Can I run for local councilman? Can I run for school board and impact our kids?
Great discussion.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate your time.
No, great discussion this morning. There's a brother that wrote the Devil I Know, and he's 100% advocating remigrating back to the South where we already have some of those majorities. So I don't want to jump out to Montana, but y'all can come to Atlanta with me, baby. Y'all can come to Atlanta with me.
Right on. Okay. Let's make this with me.
There it is. All right, we'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
What happens when your customers call your business and you're too busy to answer or call them back in a timely manner? You lose that business. Shockingly, 61% of inbound calls go unanswered. But fear not, tchmedia.ai is here to change the game. We specialize in capturing, nurturing, and converting your prospects into loyal customers. With our state-of-the-art communication solutions, no interaction will be left behind. When you miss a call, we've got you covered with automatic, engaging texts that keep your prospects connected and eager to choose you over your competitors. Don't let potential customers slip away. Make the smart choice with tchmedia.ai and skyrocket your conversions today. tchmedia.ai is here to change the game.
So I tell the nigga Mace, I say, yo, I'm going to take a duffel bag to Mark, yo. Until we get these papers together. Mace's like, how much you taking? I'm like, I'm taking a quarter ticket to him. He's like, all right, bet. Come grab 252. So I went and got on the jet, went to meet Mark, had the bag. Mark said, what's this? I said, it's yours. So we get all the paperwork and everything. He said, I can't take this. I said, Mark, I'm just trying to let you know I'm very serious, yeah. My nigga. So Mark was like, you know, we talked about the, you know, having his own show, coming on our show, you know, a couple times to present his own show. And he was, you know, it took us a while just because I believe he thought we was trying to get over on him. He brought Underdog Fantasy in, got him equity in Underdog Fantasy, some stock options, ownership in the company. And he started seeing that when he started seeing the ownership and the equity he could get. It went like that. So he didn't take the money, though. He's like, I'm not taking that back. I was like, Mark, it's yours. I'm not leaving with it. But he didn't take the money. But that's how serious we was. We went over there with some bread and said, Mark, we just here to show you cash. Nigga, this yours. You don't even got to worry about it. We'll use this when the deal get done. And that's how serious me and Mace was about just wanting Mark to get his own money and not niggas playing with that nigga like that, where they could be like, oh, we're going through budget cuts, so we can't have you here, and so on and so forth.
Welcome back to Mr. Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, along with special guest co-host Jendaya Hill Jones. This morning's open call, whatever you want to discuss, give us your 3 cents. I had to replay. Never had to replay a cut before, but I wanted to because I wanted to make sure people knew what I was referencing as we were earlier this morning. Thanks to our last caller, Brett, that kept him on. It was just some real deep thoughts for all of us to think about. And just the idea of social contract and what roles we should play, and you know, whether we're just complaining without having any say so in where our tax dollars go. So I thank him for all those brilliant thoughts. But to reference back to the Cameron and Mace conversation about Mark Jackson, to give some context for those who are listening that might not be quite sure what you're hearing, most of you may be familiar with Mace and Cameron have an amazing podcast called It Is What It Is. And it's kind of taking the YouTube and internet by storm with their independent version of sports radio versus, you know, having to be, you know, we're in that era. Got a young friend, Eldridge Washington, who always says, the internet is, the internet is disrespectful in the sense that it, to a degree, can even the playing field, and everything's not limited to those large networks being able to control everything. And so Cameron and Mace have jumped on the scene in a major way. And they're referencing Mark Jackson. For those, if you don't know, he's a former NBA player, very solid NBA player, ended up coaching in the NBA for some years. He coached Golden State had Steph Curry and Klay Thompson prior to them becoming what we when they before prior to them becoming the dynasty, but just really set the foundation. Steve Kerr, for those who know him, is the current coach. Acknowledges Mark Jackson acknowledges that he laid a wonderful foundation for Golden State, but just based on some personality issues, he got blackballed out of coaching. But the brother absolutely understands coaching and, in a sense, became one of the best TV analysts when it comes to talking about pro basketball on TV. And so he had long-time situations at one of the networks, or if you will, as an analyst in the booth, on the sideline, all these type of things kind of worked his way up. Again, he's top of the game when it comes to knowledge base. But as of recent, kind of got jerked around and some misinformation got put out as to why he left a position and all this kind of stuff. And so Cameron and Mace are talking about, based on the success they've had with being able to grow their podcast and get some levels of ownership, they literally walked up to him and said, hey, here's $500,000. We're dead serious about bringing you over to some of what we're doing. Looks like, based on what I heard, I don't know all the details, but there has been some level of partnership. I want to break down all of that context for what I'm about to say in this sense of how it relates, in my opinion, to the Taraji P situation where we're talking about whether she was getting paid fairly or not. And I brought in the context of the marketplace of what we do and what we don't understand sometimes as a culture when we're going back and forth and just simply saying that's unfair. I look at Cameron, what we're hearing him say in saying, I don't want Mark Jackson to continue to be jerked around. I'm in a position of ownership that I can not only offer him, unlike being offered at the other networks, I went to him with a bag, but more importantly, offered him equity and ownership as well, as the, in my opinion, Jandaya, is the exact answer when we understand the marketplace. And will not, in my opinion, again, I want to say this for anybody that didn't hear this, I love Taraji P. She is one of the most dynamic actresses in our time. As much as I said I didn't want to go to Color Purple, she killed it. I didn't say that earlier. She killed it. She owned the movie. Great. Love her as an actress. I want her to get every dime she deserves. But the bigger picture, in my opinion, is to think and move like a Cameron move when he watched and put himself in a position to say, hey, don't let those big white networks jerk you around, Mark Jackson. You are absolutely the best analyst, but for their own political and BS reasons, they're jerking you around. I am now in a position, because he understands marketplace, and saying, hey, come over here, brother, and we're going to offer you some equity. As much as I'm pretty sure anybody that can respect that type of power move by Cameron, I am highlighting that as a culture, if we understand marketplace and don't look at everything as, oh, we didn't get paid fairly because we don't understand the marketplace, we don't have to be in a position on a podcast crying to those people about what they do or don't pay. And we're only in that position partly because of what we fail to understand about marketplace. At the end of the day, I can be that same marketplace that we're complaining about didn't mind making Tiger Woods the highest paid athlete in the world, didn't mind making LeBron the highest paid athlete in the world. And I'm highlighting that because the marketplace demanded that Tiger Woods get that money. The marketplace demanded that LeBron got that money. The marketplace, to bring it back to the example, demanded that Brad Pitt and Denzel Washington get that money. That ain't simply what a white person decides. It's how much money can I make if I pay you this money? Like it's like Chris Rock said. It's a joke. Chris Rock's one of my favorite comedians or whatever, but he just highlighted when he had that joke where he says, Shaq is rich and the owners are wealthy. He said something to that regret. He was like, he said, if so-and-so work with Oprah's money, they would jump out the window. And I'm just kind of
putting
a lot in perspective that if we jump on Taraji's side without understanding the marketplace, there's a lot of energy over there versus learning how to be Cameron in this situation. People don't think of Cameron as conscious, right? Let's talk about that, right? You don't think of Cameron as a conscious person or whatever, but you got to respect the power move. And not only do you have to respect it, but I'm challenging that when we get in a position to understand marketplace and not be in a position of this is not fair or quote unquote begging, we now put more energy into how to be like Cameron, who doesn't have to answer. Come over here, Mark Jackson. You not only will you not get jerked around, we're going to make you part owner. Do you understand kind of where I'm going?
I mean, I dig that. I dig all of that. Okay. I dig it, the marketplace and understanding that. And, you know what I'm saying? I don't think that's a, I still think that the move was trash. Okay. And how they respond to it is trash because they know better than that. But neither here nor there.
What's trash? I just want to understand what you mean. I don't know what you're saying. What's trash? What's trash?
Like you know what I'm saying? Like how they pay us versus them, okay?
Let me ask you about that specifically. If it's literally just based on how much money I can make off what I pay you. Like it's literally just that. It's literally just that.
Some people know when they put certain people in the, like, look, again, it goes back to what I said earlier. Even with your prominent person, okay, like, it's not just about, oh, he's going to bring this in. That's people.
That's all it's about.
Okay.
That's their people.
It is that. But it's also because he's one of them. Now, neither here nor there, okay? I'm in the business where I do agree, or should I say I look forward to us continuously and even doing more of creating our own avenues, creating our own marketplaces so that we can support each other in a way, like what Cameron's talking about and what he did, you know what I'm saying, in a way that we don't have to step to them to gift us our worth. You know what I'm saying?
So I hear what you're saying, but I'm still going to challenge you on one point. I'm going to challenge you on one point when you say it's because it's one of them. Well, we just sit here and watch. MLS soccer pay some dude from overseas a ridiculous amount of money that gets paid way more money than all of them. Why? Simply marketplace. Like sometimes we make things about them or that they're supporting them. Like Tiger Woods got paid more than all of them in golf. We really don't respect marketplace dynamics. Sometimes when we're thinking it's them and race, we're off, we're wrong. It puts us in a mentally bad space and we don't make enough conscious decisions like Cameron to disrupt the whole sports media. Like they're doing them, ESPN is chasing what's happening on podcasts right now because some people were disruptors to include Cameron and I can think of the white guy that's killing it right now, Pat McAfee, if you will. So I'm just kind of challenging that when we get out of the context of race, we play in the marketplace smarter. That's all I'm trying to, that's what I mean by reorienting to whiteness. Like, oh, it ain't fair. I don't like what they don't pay. Like Meryl Streep, if she makes more money, it's literally because of what she can make them. They don't look at Meryl Streep much different than
white. We don't look. We're going to touch and agree to disagree on some of them points. Okay?
Yeah, well, I just want to be the challenges out there. Definitely. Yeah, I don't expect you to agree with me. I just want to let the whole dialogue be heard. So, yeah, absolutely. So, I'll get you to rock with your stuff, and I'm rocking with it the way I'm saying it again, just challenging, in my opinion, a complete reorienting from, in a sense.
I get completely what you're saying, and I do agree to a certain degree. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Let's do this last break. Yeah, let's do this last break and rock this last thing out. We're still letting callers get in if y'all want to join in. And for this open call, we're just jumping all over the place for today's open call. The listeners, y'all can bring the dialogue to us, 646-787-1691. Again, that's 646-787-1691. You do have to press 1 to let us know you want to speak. Tanya, I don't know if you're trying to jump back in. You can jump back in, Queen, if you're listening, because I see you on the line. If you do want to get back in, just if you will, hit the one twice so you can come off and back on. It lets me know that you're trying to get back in. If not, you're fine. All right, we'll be right back. All right, cool.
LNG Technology Services, we are your industry leader in aircraft and heavy equipment repair services. In commercial business for over 15 years, LNG technicians have over 150 years of equipment-specific knowledge and are known industry-wide for returning worn-out, broken, and overused ground support equipment back to the user in working better than new conditions. For a service job done right at a value unparalleled in the industry, contact LNG Technology Services at 478-781-4860. Again, for a service job done right, that number is 478-781-4860. LNG Technologies is a Mental Dialogue Gold member and proud sponsor of the Mental Dialogue community.
Actually, I would like to highlight that LNG Technology is now a Black Level member, one of our longest standing supporters of this show. If you like Smart Intelligent Radio, if you like Smart Intelligent Radio, please go to mentaldialogue.com. Actually, our website is currently down, to be honest with you, but we should have it up shortly, and you can absolutely ensure Intelligent Radio stays on the air, because unlike ESPN, we're not the big boy, so we do need your support, whether it's monthly support as a listener or if you have a business that you want to advertise. The higher levels get you discounts on your advertising on the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. But with having the smartest audience in all the radio, smart listeners support quality products. We actually got another caller that wants to jump in. Area code 706, last 3381. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents is on this open call Mental Dialogue Talk Show.
Yes, I'm calling from Georgia. My name is Elena, and I just wanted to chime in on the Taraji P. Henson's piece.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
You know, that this kind of thing been going on for years, and the media has really been treating us wrong. You know, the way that our images are depicted. I mean, what Taraji and Monique has been talking about was the blatant racism and inequality that's been going on since the start of Hollywood. I think it's time we take control and we start doing things on our own. I think there's enough technology where we can create our own media outlets. Even if we start small, like with Roku stations and satellite stations, we need to wean ourselves off this mainstream stuff, not only because of the racism, but because of the adultification of our children. They sexualize even our women and now the men. You see so much coming out with the music industry, with TV snakes and all of that. I think it's just time we take back our culture via the media and we start some things on our own. We become too... we depended on people who don't have our best interests at hand. I think what Taraji and Monique has touched on is just surface space. But when the floodgates really open, you're going to really see this beast come out. And with that, I yield the floor.
Thank you for your thoughts.
Yeah, I dig exactly what you're saying in that regard, and I do want to point out that these are things that we are actually doing. They're just not getting the necessary attention and or the support. So we have to also be mindful that as we're coming out in these different outlets, you know, because we are, you know, we supporting them. Because a lot of times, we'll jump on the trash stuff before we jump on the good stuff. Even like the music industry and what's blowing up on the screen and those things. So we have to be mindful and conscious of who we are supporting and what we are supporting in this industry. But we are definitely, these are things that are happening already right now in media and in music.
It needs to be cleaned up. It has to be cleaned up because we got a whole generation.
Hey, that's on us.
You know, a whole generation who's been exposed to nothing but filth. I know it started way before now, but it's really, really bad now. And I think what's going on with Taraji and Monique, I think we should get on the bandwagon. and advance whatever they're trying to do. But I think all the roads needs to go towards controlling our own media, our own culture, and we start, controlling what images go out about us as a people. Because I had the opportunity to go to another country, and when I got to talking to some of the people, just because of the movies that they saw, how it was depicting Black Americans, they had this certain idea of who we are as a people. And that's because of the images that we see. So if we can start looking at how we can control our own media, no matter how big and how small, I think that's the direction we need to go into.
I love your thoughts. Again, I'm just going to throw a couple of things in there or whatever. And ultimately, I would also encourage pick up my book, Reeducation of the Negro, because it's, constantly conversations about challenging and understanding the power of image, power of imagery and the role that it plays. I'm trying to look up the little quote, "He who controls the images." I'm trying to remember who said that. Let me look it up real quick. Because again, I'm 100 controls minds. Let me see who I want to give credit to who said it. Let's see, Allen Ginsberg. Yeah, Allen Ginsberg. "He controls the media, controls minds." And so I'm 100% with you on Atlanta in that. I'm not encouraged to quote unquote support. Let me clarify. I love Taraji P. But I'm not, again, encouraged to support Monique and Taraji in the sense of, I think it is a complete failure to understand, in my opinion, a complete failure to understand marketplace. Even when other people were chiming in on Monique's situation, the other people that are in her industry, and, she was highlighting how, some of the brothers were, getting offered way more than the $500,000 she got offered from Netflix or whatever. And again, I still would encourage that, the money that Dave Chappelle got offered on Netflix and the money that Kevin Hart got offered and her getting offered, just $500 compared to them is simply marketplace. This is what we offer because of what we want to be able to make. And that same marketplace is willing to pay Dave Chappelle a whole bunch of money because of how much money they can make off of him. It is. And again, I highlight that focus.
And I agree with you. I agree with you 100% on that. I felt like she was directing that harm towards the wrong person. We got a bad knack of blaming each other when we are victims of racism. But the bottom line is there is Hollywood is a racist industry when it comes to pay. But when we get hurt, Black men and Black women, we're so damaged, we want to lash out and compare the harm internally. No, I think she does herself a disservice, her and Monique, when they compare themselves to Black men, because at the end of the day, Black people in Hollywood does not make what white people make, bottom line. So I think
let me ask you this real quick. Let me ask you something real quick when you say that in bottom line. And again, this is not me even trying to justify it, but I would like for us to have a context where we don't even feel victimized by it. Like, how could we make the same when most of them, in a sense, or white writers that are writing things that are culturally for stuff that we may not. What I'm saying is we don't necessarily care about. So is it being disservice when at the end of the day, if they make a movie culturally about something we don't care about as much, but the majority culture does, that's simply a numbers game. I'm not slighted. I'm actually challenging us to mentally not even be slighted by that. Like, the person that wrote the movie ain't even thinking, I don't care about Black people. They're like, I got a movie that's gonna hit with our culture. Like, let's say it's something about like this one. I remember this one movie that I've never watched. Some movie up in it was up in like North Dakota, and it won Movie of the Year or whatever. I don't care to watch that movie. It did numbers, and I'm pretty sure those actors got paid way more than the majority of black actors. They didn't get paid more than Denzel because Denzel can draw the numbers, the demographics, and draw the numbers. I'm just trying to say sometimes it is strictly marketplace stuff at play. And they want us to be stronger than being fair. It's not fair when it's literally just marketplace stuff. Like I was saying to the doctor, that soccer player that just got brought to MLS, he made way more than all the white soccer players too. It's marketplace. It's just like the challenge to say, all right, let me accept what happens in that marketplace. And to your point, Elaine, let's move like a Cameron. Let's do some of our own things. And let's also be realistic. But let me also say this. Let's also be realistic about our own thing. It's like, I don't want us to devoid of global marketplace to have our own thing. So sometimes we want to have our own thing to the point where we're like, oh, it's okay if I make less since I was our own thing. And the reason I'm making that point is while we watch Taraji P, you know, cry about her $10 million, you know, dollars that, you know, obviously she doesn't get all the dollars of it, but when she cries about her $10 million, the reality is if we did just have our own black Hollywood, there's not $10 million to be made if you only promote to 13% of the population. And I'm just being real strategic about.
Well, I think we're so culturally strong. Now, this is where we're going to disagree.
Okay.
Our culture dominates the United States. Our culture sells. Hip-hop sells Coca-Cola, Pepsi, Nike. We sell. We just don't control it. So I disagree. I think we need to start looking at control. Our culture, you know, if you go to other countries, I went to Iran in 2015, right? I saw Nike commercials with black people on it. They love our basketball. Our culture is what sells these products.
I agree 100% with you.
There is a market for it.
We only got a couple minutes. We only got a couple minutes, so I'll say this to you.
Mm-hmm.
I 100% agree with you, and check out what the marketplace does. The marketplace does. It plays those athletes. But listen, watch what I'm saying. The marketplace plays those athletes more than other white athletes. I'm just still trying to help walk through the dynamics of marketplace dynamics. So I know that there are a lot of areas. Hip-hop sells damn near everything. It's not that I don't disagree with that, but I am highlighting that there are some areas where we'll say have our own to the point where we'll be devoid of global marketplace, and in the event that we have our black Hollywood that promotes to us, like a Tyler Perry does, if you will, he doesn't offer $10 million. He offers more than what Hollywood can pay her because he has mastered. He has mastered and niched our market. But I'm just saying that same example, we could have our own and she still wants $10 million. So I want it to be okay to where we understand marketplace dynamics and our community can jump between our own and that marketplace and kill it and not always be in a position of begging them as well. It's like, let me understand their marketplace. Let me get everything I can get out of their marketplace and our own. That's the combination I would love for us to have. Thank you so much for the call.
1 minute remaining.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Queen.
Didn't mean
great
to cut you off. Just give you a heads up on our time.
No, thank you. No, I appreciate you, brother. No, I'm sorry. I appreciate you, Queen. I'm sorry. But thank you, Elaine, for your call.
No worries.
And Daria, if you will, give us how people can stay in contact with the work you're doing, and we're out of here.
Absolutely. Hit your girl up on social media in the meantime, in a good time, at Empower You, period, at Black Grown and Married, at Women Divine NFP, and or you can get on the website, www.empoweryouperiod.com.
Love it. Thank you, Queen, for holding me down. All I ask is that you think.
How's your money feeling? It's about to feel happier with a certificate from Happy Money's partner, Michigan State University Federal Credit Union. Elevate and increase your savings with 18-month terms and only a $500 minimum. And the happiest part? MSU FCU certificates yield 4.5% APY annual percentage yield. Now that's a happier side of money. Elevate your savings. go to happymoney.com/MSUFCU. That's MSUFCU. Funds insured up to $250,000 by NCUA. The APY is accurate as of the 12/1/2023 dividend declaration date. Early withdrawal penalties do apply. Fees may reduce earnings on the account. Any monthly withdrawals or transfers reduce earnings.
The holidays start here at Kroger with a variety of options to celebrate traditions old and new. You could do a classic herb-roasted turkey or spice it up and make turkey tacos. Serve up a go-to shrimp cocktail or use Simple Truth wild-caught shrimp for your first Cajun risotto. Make creamy mac and cheese or a spinach artichoke fondue from our selection of Murray's cheese. No matter how you shop, Kroger has all the freshest ingredients to embrace all your holiday traditions. Kroger, fresh for everyone.